Welcome to Making Connections, a WMMT series on diversifying our future.
Over 4,000 Eastern Kentucky miners have lost their jobs since 2011, and many fear these jobs aren't coming back. Throughout the coalfields, folks are asking the question, what comes next? Scholars at Appalachian State University think there are lessons to be learned from South Wales, a major coal-producing region which faced a similar decline a quarter century ago. WMMT's Sylvia Ryerson has this report.
What happens when fossil fuels run out? And how do rural communities reinvent themselves as natural resources are depleted? These are the big questions being asked right now by Tom Hansel and Patricia Beaver of Appalachian State University. And they are looking to former mining regions in South Wales to learn more and to support communities asking the same questions here in the coalfields of Central Appalachia. According to Hansel, the similarities between the two regions are profound.
Well, I think the first parallel is the landscape. Wales is mountainous. There's tight valleys, a lot like the hollers in eastern Kentucky and in southern West Virginia. There's also a strong union history there, and the transition from a more of a pastoral or agricultural economy to an industrial economy happened just as dramatically in Wales as it did in Appalachia.
And the rapid decline of coal industry jobs is tragically similar in both regions as well. The mines in Wales shut down almost entirely in the 1980s, and more than 85,000 miners lost their jobs. In Appalachia, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration, over 70,000 mining jobs were lost between 1980 and 2000, and a June 2012 EIA report projects that Appalachian coal production will be cut in half this decade. But while the layoffs in Wales happened almost overnight, in a matter of just 4 or 5 years, in Appalachia, the jobs have been slowly disappearing over decades. Hansel has done extensive research and interviews for his upcoming documentary film, After Coal, in the South Wales communities hardest hit by the mine closures.
And from talking to them and reading their accounts, it sounds like things felt apocalyptic. That besides the mines being shut down, there were schools being shut down, doctor's offices leaving, and that people really were questioning what sort of future they had.
Dr. Hal Francis is the Labour Party Member of Parliament for Aberavon, Wales, and has been a longtime collaborator on the After Coal project. And as he recalls the decade of the layoffs,
everyone somehow or other in Wales feels as if they have their roots in coal. Communities always change. Industries come and go. And it was foolish of us to think at the end of the 85 strike that it was the end of the world. It was an opportunity for a new beginning, and we should never have really have been so committed to sustaining communities on the back of an appalling industry like coal.
And of course, what we've seen since then through the 1990s and the 2000s, that Welsh communities have regrouped, they have survived. They've gone through some tough times, but the first thing they did was did a lot of environmental reclamation. So cleaning up acid mine drainage, mine waste piles, all those sorts of things was kind of the foundation of their regeneration, is what they call it. And then the second thing that they did was invested in education. And then the third thing that they've done is looked at a variety of forms of renewable energy. One huge difference in the mines in Wales with the mines in Appalachia is that they were government-owned. They were nationalized. So when the mines were shut down, the government provided severance funds to the miners that helped with economic transition. And in a lot of cases, the government turned over coal mining facilities, offices even, to community groups.
One example of this is the Dove Workshop, an adult education center located in the offices of a former strip mine in the village of Benwen at the head of the Dulles Valley. Founded by miners' wives and working in collaboration with the Welsh University system, the center was established to provide part-time course enrollment, free childcare, and transportation for all students. As co-founder Meyer Francis recalls, the founding of Dove also reflects how gender roles changed during this time, as women took the lead in rebuilding their communities.
When we set up Dove during the miners' strike, we wanted to have an opportunity for women to be involved in something that they were the decision makers, that they decided how things should be run and how things should be developed.
The main aim of the organisation is to offer education and training to adults from 16 years up, so that they can take courses in their own community, from return to learn, art classes, craft classes, all the way through to a part-time degree in humanities, which is offered by Swansea University.
Well, I started off as somebody who'd never typed anything, who, you know, didn't have any skills in learning in any shape or form, but an avid belief in what learning can do for somebody, and I'm loving it myself. I did the degree here, the BA Humanities, and I think it was 2 or 3 years ago I finished my Master's in Lifelong Learning.
Those were the voices of Meyer Francis, Julie Bibby, and Leslie Smith of the Dove Workshop. 3 decades later, classes are still going strong, and the Dove Building now hosts several small-scale entrepreneurs, including a daycare, library, a community garden, and a cafe featuring local foods. And while Wales is still far from having all the answers, Hansel and his colleagues believe the Dove Workshop is just one example among many we can learn from here in Appalachia. In addition to investing in education in the rural former mining communities, prioritizing environmental restoration projects and sustaining local cultural traditions were key to the transition in South Wales.
Having a clean environment is a key to having a clean economy. And so that often involves government effort, and in order for that government efforts to actually be effective and not be corrupt or pork barrel projects, local people really need to be involved in their government. And so that's kind of a role for grassroots organizing. It shows how important grassroots organizing is in this kind of economic transition, economic renewal. And then I think the other thing is that culture helps communities survive. I mean, each of these communities we went to, although the mines had closed down, there were still miners' choirs. There were union halls where people went to gather that often had been turned into cultural centers where they had art galleries and movie theaters and farmers markets there. So culture is another kind of key to community survival.
Leslie Smith realized through the Dove Workshop just how much all of these areas overlap.
When Dove was established, it was very much in the style of a lifelong learning center, and we still call that by a lot of people. But we came to recognize that the work that we were doing was helping the economy, helping to regenerate a community. Our geography doesn't lend itself very well to inward investment, I don't think. You know, you're not going to build a factory up the road because you haven't got the infrastructure, you haven't got the rail system. We need people to be more entrepreneurial, because when you get people to run a little business in a community, they're not going to get up and walk away when the going gets tough. It's not always about making a lot of money for one person, but it's about making a living, which is a completely different thing, I think, you know. People say to me all the time, you know, yeah, but what's in the Dyluth Valley? Well, I don't know what it is, but there's a sort of community here.
If the going gets tough, we all get together. And I think it was proved during the miners' strike. We've got a lot to show and a lot to be proud of. Not to forget our roots, our mining, where we all come from, but build on that.
Again, that was Leslie Smith and Julie Bibby of the Dove Workshop. For more information about Tom Hansel's project, you can visit www.aftercoal.com. Tom Hansel, Patricia Beaver, Meyer, and Howell Francis will all be presenting on the project at an upcoming conference in Harlan, Kentucky, April 19th through 21st, titled Appalachia's Bright Future. The gathering will bring together a diverse group of leaders and citizens working to build a new economy here in the mountains of eastern Kentucky. To find out more, you can visit www.kftc.org/abf. Reporting for WMMT in Whitesburg, I'm Sylvia Ryerson.